You're listening to the Cornerstone Family Worship Center podcast. Making disciples, building community, and growing together in faith and love.
With us ministering the word. So you don't want to miss church next week. Make sure that you're here. And bring a friend. Heck, bring an enemy. It's all right. Bring somebody. Amen. Virgil's a good preacher of the word, and he loves the Lord, man. He's just a simple guy, loves the Lord and loves God's people. He will minister. Last time he was here, he ministered to everybody in the house before he left. And so we'll put him to work here, you know. Amen. All righty. Did you come to praise the Lord this morning? That's what we came to do. We used to sing an old chorus years ago. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Amen. So that's what we're here for this morning, and that's what we've been created to do, as I said earlier. And so I'm going to have you go to a psalm that you all love, hopefully, those of you who know the Lord and who know His Word. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So turn there. If you don't have your Bibles, I think we're going to have all the verses up there. And we're just going to look at this entire chapter this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we know that it brings life to us when it's mixed with faith in our heart. And Lord, today we bring ourselves before you, we open our hearts up to you, and we ask you to touch us by your word, teach us from your word, and encourage us and strengthen us by it. We pray it in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. All that is within us. The first and great commandment is to do what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, body, strength, and mind. Everything about you, everything that makes you, you, worship him. Love him in that way. And then we're supposed to love our neighbor. The very second commandment, Jesus said, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. So thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And that's how we should worship him as well. With every fiber of our being, to reach down into the depths of our inner man and to bring out worship to him. So when we come into this house on a Sunday morning, we shouldn't come in haphazardly. We shouldn't come in just bebopping around and not even thinking about what we're going to be doing. We're coming in here with a specific purpose, and that is to glorify God, to lift up his name, to testify of him, to sing about his wonders and of his glory and of his grace. Amen. To remind each other of who he is and what he has done in our lives. Amen. We have to be reminded. Amen. We have to be reminded of just exactly how good God has been to us. Because there are times when we can become forgetful. There are times when we're pressured by things of this life that would cause us to look away from our God and not give credit or honor that is due unto him. Amen. And so David says, I'm going to bless the Lord with everything that is within me. Remember one time when David was in trouble, and people were turning against him and everything, and it just wasn't going good for David. Scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I believe that these are the kinds of words that David was saying to himself. Not this particular psalm. I'm not saying that he wrote this psalm at that time. But words like this were a custom to David's life. I mean, this was a part of his life. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. Are you blessing the Lord, church? Are you blessing the Lord with your whole soul, with all your being? Amen. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. That's how we come in. That's how we come into the presence of the Lord. That's how the Old Testament saints came into the presence of the Lord, was with worship and praise. It wasn't just out of ritual, out of form, out of formality. We don't want to do that. We don't want to come in here and just say, oh, you know, I'll just do the same thing I did last week because, you know, it was good last week, it must be good this week. No, we come in with a specific purpose to give glory and honor to Him. So when we enter into His gates and we enter into His courts, we ought to see that as the sanctuary of the Lord. We're coming in to praise Him. Psalm 66, verse 8 says, oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. Amen. I'm always amazed at people who just won't sing unto the Lord. In the congregational setting, just sit here and go. Bible commands us. Hello. And now if I'm talking to you today, don't get mad at me. The Bible commands us to sing, to praise, to clap our hands, to rejoice before the Lord, and to make our voices be heard, and to make His glory be heard through our voices. And that's what it says here in this psalm. Bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. Let others know how good God is. Amen? Bless the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Hum, if that's all you can do, unto the Lord. You know, my mom used to say, I don't sing because I just can't carry a tune. You know, and the Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So she said, anything I sing is not going to be joyful. I said, that's a cop-out. I said, Mom, that's a cop-out. You got to sing. You got to let it out. You got to tell God that you love Him. You got to sing His praise to Him. We're commanded to do it. So don't think that you can't carry a tune and therefore you shouldn't praise the Lord. I've never heard anybody yet, in 45 years, I've never heard anybody yet say, that guy sings so bad, I don't even want to come around him. You know, that guy sings so bad when he praises the Lord that I just don't want to even be in this church when he's doing that. I've never heard anybody say that. So it doesn't matter how beautiful of a voice you have. It's how beautiful your heart is before Him as you're worshiping Him. Let your heart sing His praises. Psalm 96, verse 2 says, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Amen. Blessing the Lord and praising the Lord is not just a Sunday event. Hallelujah. We got six other days throughout the week that we should be praising God and giving thanks to God for all He is and for all He has done for us in the past and for His promises of what He will do for us in the future. Praise God for who He is, first and foremost. Amen. And then the scripture shows us over and over again that we ought to thank Him for things that He has done in our lives. Amen. So it goes on in verse 2 to say just that. It says, bless the Lord. Again, he says it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen. Don't forget the benefits that God gives to us as His people. Now, how many of you have been at a job interview and you're looking for a job and you want to make a certain amount of money? So you go in there and you negotiate, or you're talking to the person who you're looking in hopes that they're going to hire you, and you start talking about the figures. You start talking about how much they're going to pay you for the job that you're going to do. Amen? And then you want to know what the benefits are. What are the benefits? Are there any benefits that go along with this? And the psalmist is saying here, there's a lot of benefits that goes along with praising God or serving God. Amen. A lot of benefits to serving the Lord. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't you dare forget. And so David, in that one point that I was talking about where he looked down in his soul and encouraged his own soul, And he was saying, bless the Lord. Here he's saying it right here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's speaking to himself. Do you ever find yourself speaking to yourself? I do. I call myself names. You dummy, what'd you do that for? And I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do it. But I do. I say, you dummy, you know. I even call myself a jackass sometimes. I mean, sorry. Oh, isn't that terrible? But you feel sometimes like saying something to that effect. Maybe you don't. I hope you don't. But we shouldn't say that about ourselves, because that's God has created us in his image, so we should be a little bit more positive than that. But I got to tell you, there are times that it just grabs a hold of me, and that's what I do. I'm just confessing today. Is it okay if I confess to you today my faults? You know, it's good to do, you know, amen. I don't know if all of you ever heard the story that I almost scared to death an Indian guy who was pulling into my parking spot that I was waiting for. And he pulled in there. And I went, are you kidding me? And so I parked two slots over, big walk, right? Parked my car two slots over and went over to him and reached inside of his car to shake his hand and to apologize and to tell him I'm sorry, you know. He thought I was going to come and choke him, I think, you know. But I reached across his partner there in the car and I said, hey, man, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm a Christian and I shouldn't even act that way. Please forgive me for being upset with you. But I'm just saying, in our daily life, things will pop up, and sometimes you get so frustrated, you blurt out something, you say something, or you do something that you regret, and you wish that you wouldn't have done that. But here's one thing. The more we can find ourselves praising God continually, there's no room for the other stuff to come out. So the more that I'm focused on God, the more that I'm thinking about God, the more that I'm singing his praises, when I pull up and I'm waiting for a spot in a parking lot, I'm just there praising the Lord anyway. He may come any moment, and I'm just waiting for Jesus' return. And so here I am waiting for a parking spot. It changes the whole scenario. And I know that that's just a little illustration and it's almost silly, but there are bigger things like that that go on in our life each and every day. So we should realize that God has much for us, and that one of the things is that we can stay in close communion with him through fellowship and through worship and through praise. Amen. And we shouldn't forget this. We shouldn't forget his benefits. As we bless and praise the Lord, we're constantly reminded or reminding ourselves of his goodness towards us. That's what we're doing. When I'm saying praise you, Lord, for who you are, praise you, Lord, for what you have done, I'm reminding my own self. I'm reminding my soul of who he is and the benefits that he has provided for me in this wonderful salvation that he's given unto me. Amen. All of his benefits, all of his promises to us. Amen. So it's a way of reminding ourselves. Verse 3, who forgives all thine iniquities and who heals all thy diseases. Those two benefits right there are just awesome in our lives. That God's a forgiver and that God is a healer. Amen. That when we confess our sins, when we confess our faults, when we confess our shortcomings before him, he will forgive us. When we repent, turn from them, and confess them before him, he will forgive us. Amen. So he'll forgive us for all of our iniquities, all of our sins. Aren't you glad that he will do that? All of our sins? Some people are pretty convinced that God can forgive us of this little sin over here and of this little sin over here. But he couldn't possibly forgive us for this big sin here. No, he forgives us of all of our iniquities. All of our sins, He will blot out just like they never happened. That's awesome. How many of you would say that's a good benefit? That's a good benefit to have in my benefit package, that God is willing to forgive me, that he's willing to erase and eradicate my sins and to allow me to stand before him on holy ground. Amen. And then he heals us of our diseases, our sicknesses. We can call upon the name of the Lord to be healed. We've had testimonies right here. Many of us right here in this place have had testimonies of God healing us, of God touching our bodies. And as I always say, I believe it's God's will for us to be well. And that's why I pray to be healed. That's why I pray for you to be healed. Because I believe that that's what God wants for you. Now, if I don't get healed through someone praying for me, I'm going to the doctor. I'm not one of these people that just say, well, bless God, if God doesn't heal me, then I ain't, you know. I'll go to the doctor because I believe God wants me well. And he can heal me miraculously, or he can heal me through technology and through wisdom that he has given unto men. But most doctors who are truthful will tell you that they've done all they can do. We've done all that we know that we can do. The healing is in his hands. A lot of doctors will say that. Obviously not atheistic doctors, but people who do believe in a God will say, hey, it's all in his hands at this point in time. Verse 4, he says another benefit is that he redeems our life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Amen. To redeem something means to purchase it, to buy it back. Your salvation and my salvation has been purchased with a great price. The blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. That was the price that was paid so that you would not have to go to destruction. I think a lot of times we get off from praising the Lord because we forget this one thing here, that we were on a road to destruction and that we were bound for an eternal hell before God got a hold of us and turned our lives around. And so when we forget that, we can forget the power of this joy that we have in salvation. Forget that there's a hell. There's a lot of people that would like to forget that there is a hell. There are some people that are preaching that there is no hell. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And what it says here is that we've been redeemed. We've been bought. We've been paid for. Your soul, your eternal soul, has been paid for in full by the blood of Christ. It's powerful. It's powerful. When we let that just sink in, when we really think of the destruction. See, if I really don't think about there really being a hell, then that verse almost doesn't have an effect on me. Amen. I would dare say that most of us are not thinking very much about an eternal hell when it comes to how often we share our faith with someone. Let that sink in. If we believe as Christians that there is an eternal hell, and that people are skating on thin ice right now, why would we not want to reach them and call them into the kingdom of God? But that's not always on our minds, is it? We're not always thinking about that. And that's why we fail along those lines of sharing our faith. So be encouraged today. Share your faith. That's what this was saying in the earlier verses that I read. Speak and praise God and bless the Lord so that others will know of his goodness. Amen. Verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God strengthens you. Some eagles live to be 60 years old. Did you know that? Yeah. I didn't know how long an eagle would live, but they say that there are some that live to be 60 years old. And I don't know how many birds live that long, but the reference here is to the eagle. You know, that he will restore us and restore our health and restore our strength and renew us like the wings of an eagle are renewed. Amen. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God takes notice of all who are oppressed, and he will also take vengeance upon their oppressors. Yeah. You know, if you're oppressed by someone, if somebody is over you and you come under oppression by them, God is going to deal with that person because of you. That's a sobering thought. Amen. Therefore, I don't want to oppress you. I don't want to oppress my neighbor. I don't want to oppress anybody because God sees that. And he'll take vengeance upon the oppressor. Amen. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. God revealed himself to Moses, and he became Israel's deliverer through many signs and wonders. Amen? So he makes his way known unto us in the same way that he made his way known to Moses. Not necessarily do we see a burning bush or go through the experiences that Moses had, nor are we necessarily called to be a deliverer of a great nation, but God does reveal himself to us, and his wonders and his signs and his miracles he does in our lives day by day to reveal himself to us. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I love those three words, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Woo! Somebody ought to just shout hallelujah. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'm telling you, boy, oh boy, anybody who knows what grace is, ought to just jump and shout at that verse, amen. Amen. That he does not reward us according to what we have deserved. Jesus went to the cross and got something that he did not deserve. We deserved that. And through his blood and through the sacrifice of himself for us, we get what we didn't deserve. Mercy, grace, forgiveness. Amen. And so I'm glad. I'm probably more glad than some of you that God has not treated me according to my sin. He who has been forgiven of much ought to love much. Amen? And I feel like I have been forgiven of a lot, and that God has not held me accountable for those sins, but he has chosen to wipe those sins clean from my life. Amen. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, that's a pretty good stint. Right? Stint? Stint, not a stint. Stint. I've had so many of those stints that, you know, I'm used to saying stints. That's a long ways. From the east to the west. It's a word picture here. This is a word picture helping us to understand how vast his forgiveness is towards us. You know, when you have little kiddos and you say, do you love me? Or, you know, I love you or whatever. You do that little thing back and forth with the kids. And the kids, yeah. And you say, how much do you love me? This much. I love you this much. No. This much. Then they go like this with their arms. I love you this much, Daddy. I love you this much, Mama. I love you all the way around the world, they'll say. Amen? That's a word picture that God is giving us right here. From as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sins. He has cast your sins, as it were, into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against you again. Isn't that something? Wow. Now that's just the way that we forgive people, isn't it? No, not. We forgive somebody, but down the road, if something else comes up with that individual, we'll be quick to remember and to bring it up again. That's the way, that's the limitations a lot of times that we have as human beings. But God's not limited in that way. When he forgives, he forgives. When he forgets your past, he forgets it. Done. It's over. Amen. We're the only ones that remind ourselves of it. He's willing to completely forget it. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What good parent is not compassionate towards his child? And in the same way, again, a word picture, we're compassionate towards our children. We favor our children. Amen? God, in the same manner, favors us, and he has compassion on us, and he pities us. Not pity like, oh, pity the poor boy type of thing. You know, oh, pity. No, compassion. This is talking about sympathy and compassion for our situation. God feels that. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that we have a high priest who is touched by what you feel and by what you go through. So a lot of times we say, oh, Lord, you just don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. And the Lord's going, yeah, I do. Know exactly what you're going through. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? God says, I have a plan. Everything's okay. But he's compassionate. He feels it. He knows it. Amen. We sometimes feel like we're all alone, but we're not. These are the benefits. These are the blessings of serving this God. Amen. Verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Dust. That's it. Before we ever were, there was dust. And guess who made the dust? God. So without him, we are nothing. It's that statement I find in my own life more and more as I say it is so true. Without him, I am nothing. Without him, I could do absolutely nothing. So he knows your frame. He knows what you're made of. He knows that you've come from the dust of the earth. He made Adam from the dust of the earth. We're his progeny after that. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Here today, gone tomorrow. Look at, if we could live to be 110 or 120 years old, what is that to eternity? It's a drop in a bucket. So he says, we're just like a flower of the field. It's here today and then it's gone tomorrow. flourishes for a little while, but then it says, verse 16, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Amen. But the mercy of the Lord, verse 17, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. It's good to remember God's commandments. It's good to remember God's word. It's good to memorize God's word. Amen? That's scriptural. It says that we need to get the word of God in our heart that we might not sin against the Lord. So it's good to memorize scripture, but we can't just stop at the memorizing of scripture. Here it says, those who do. Those who do. To keep such, to such as keep his commandment, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. So we can't just remember them. We need to remember to do them. That's the hard spot. We were talking this morning in our prayer meeting before church about the good job that Jeremiah did on Wednesday talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He was talking about love. And Yvette says, yeah, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it's love and the joy and the peace. And she says, when you get down the list a little bit further, she said, oh, that's where, kind of, she was saying, that's kind of like where the rubber meets the road. You know, that's where it really gets tough. The patience and the other things that the fruit of the Spirit are supposed to be in our lives, they're not the easy ones. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, meekness, all of those things are a little more difficult. Amen? But the more of Christ that we have, the more of this fruit will be produced. So we're talking about that on Wednesday nights, and I get to speak of the joy of the Lord this Wednesday. So we're going through all of the nine fruit of the Spirit. We don't just memorize his word, we keep his word. So we should be patient people, loving people, kind people, good people, based upon that. Verse 19, it says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Remind your soul to bless God. Think of the benefits that he has given to you. Think of the forgiveness that has been afforded to you. Think of all of the sins that God has been willing to just blot out like they've never happened, and he receives you as his son or as his daughter, and you are forgiven. He has redeemed you from destruction. He has taken you from the road that was leading you right straight to a devil's hell, and he bought back and paid for your salvation, swooped you up off of that road, and now has you in his arms and in his kingdom. And he pities you like a father pities his children. He has compassion on you. He looks at you. He sees what you're going through. He knows your frame. He knows what you're made of. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows where you are right now. He knows what you're thinking in your mind right now. He knows where you're going to be later on today. He knows what you're going to be doing next week. He is all-knowing God. He is all-powerful God. We ought to rise up and bless him. We ought to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. We ought to, when our feet hit the ground in the morning, bless the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes getting out of bed in the morning is a little bit hard, especially for all you older people. I'm talking about me. Come on. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, you know what I'm talking about. After you get a certain age, sometimes kind of move it a little bit slower. Amen? I know my feet hurt sometimes when they hit the floor. But that's when I'm supposed to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless him. Let the bones, let the mouth, let the voice, let the mind begin to bless the Lord and praise the Lord. I think if we start praising him early in the morning, there's a good chance we might praise him throughout the day. The Bible says, from the rising of the sun till the time that it goes down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. So if we're praising him all day long, guess what? You won't get mad at somebody who cuts in front of you in your parking spot. Obviously, I wasn't praising the Lord that day. When you're praising the Lord, you don't get upset at somebody saying an unkind word to you. You'll say, bless them, Lord. You say, why? How? You? Yes, that's exactly what Jesus said to do. Bless them that curse you. Bless them and curse not. How in the world can you do that unless you're filled with the praises of God, unless you're filled with the joy of God, unless you're filled with the peace of God? Amen. So bless the Lord. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He started this psalm out saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. He finishes the psalm by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. So as we wrap it up this morning, I'd ask you this question. When is it a good time to bless the Lord? Always. Anytime. Anytime. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. At all times. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him in the middle of the day. Take the time to thank God for who he is and what he's done in your life. Amen. A good time to praise the Lord is all the time. And then here's another one from Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So a good time to praise the Lord is right now while you're alive. Praise him while you got breath to praise him. As a matter of fact, there's a psalm towards the end of the psalms that says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing, you ought to praise the Lord. If that person next to you doesn't seem to be breathing, nudge them. See if they're alive. And if they're alive, they ought to praise the Lord. Amen. Because Psalm 115, verse 17 says this, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. So obviously that's speaking of our earthly life here, because for those of us who believe in the Lord and trust in the Lord, Jesus said, though they die, yet shall they live. Amen? So we will continue to live, and we will obviously continue to give God praise at that point in time. But in this life right now, the only time that your voice can be heard praising the Lord is while you're still breathing. So while you're still breathing, learn to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise him in what we say. Praise him in what we think. Praise him in what we do. Let our works give praise to God. Let all of our efforts in this world be pointing glory to God all the time. Amen. Today is a good day to praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Today's a good day to praise the Lord. And whatever circumstances you may be going through in your life, I can guarantee you it's still a good time because you'll get through it, and God will raise you up